listening to the CCA Podcast.
Hey, good morning. My name is Ryan, and this is my beautiful wife, Linnea. We're the lead pastors here at Calvary, and we're delighted you're here this morning, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. It's awesome.
Super great. This is a fun time on Sunday mornings. This is a great time for us to come together and be all about one person and one thing. What is that this morning? Jesus. Yes. We're all about Jesus here at Calvary. We are Jesus people, as I've heard it articulated in other places. But that's who we are, and we're just delighted that you're here with us. We're all about one thing. It's helping people find and follow Jesus, both here in Seattle and around the world. And so what an opportunity that you and I have this morning to do that very thing. Whether it's housing, hospitalizing, feeding, clothing, educating, equipping, encouraging, employing, whatever way, however way we can, we want to help as many as we possibly can find and follow Jesus. This is a big week. So like Tuesday is National Make a Friends Day. Did you know that? Are you ready to make a new friend? Well, you don't have to wait till Tuesday to do that. What else is going on this week?
Well, you know, it's crazy you say that because tomorrow is somebody's birthday.
Oh, goodness.
Tomorrow is your birthday.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
Happy birthday to you.
You're going to sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ryan. Happy birthday to you. You really pitched me a softball on that. You weren't expecting that, were you? You kind of pitched me a softball on that one.
I actually wasn't expecting that. I was
hoping you
wouldn't
say anything. You wanted me to talk about Valentine's Day.
I'm not going to talk about that. Oh, my word. So it is Valentine's Day, though, this week. Thank you, guys. That was very sweet. That sounded good, too. Nice.
Thank you.
Right? It was very good. Thank you, Leilani, Bino, the team. Valentine's Day.
Trying to bring it back together,
yeah,
aren't you?
Valentine's Day. Do you know what we're doing?
No, you've made it a surprise.
She doesn't.
You're not
should
telling
I tell her?
Me.
Should I tell her? No, I don't want to. We'll wait. We'll tell you later what we end up doing. But so for all those married men in the house, or all those with a girlfriend or a boyfriend in here, it's Valentine's Day this week. I'm just trying to help you out as your friend. Just trying to like pave the way. Be thinking of something creative.
There's still time to order
to
the
do.
Flowers. There's still time for the dinner reservation. We're just helping you.
Yeah. We love you, so we want to help you. But that's going on this week. What else? Singles Awareness Day is on Saturday, and so we're a place of community for singles. We're a place of community for marrieds. We're a place of community for divorced. We're a place of community for widows and widowers. This is the family of God, you guys, and this is all about community this morning. So this introduction, we just want to pave the way and preface everything we talk about today with that fact that this is a place of love, and we're just so delighted you're here. So this week's going to be fun. Thank you for your help.
Super eventful.
I love you.
I love you too.
Okay. So this is fun. We're in the middle of a sermon series that we're calling Love Jesus, Love Seattle, and this is week number 5 of that series. Again, I welcome you to church this morning. We're going to be jumping into the book of Hosea. And our key text this morning speaks of how God's love restores, okay? And we're going to be jumping in together. So if you brought your Bibles, again, I just want to remind you, if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles readily available. Stop by the guest stop this morning, and we'll give you a Bible. You don't have to pay for it. We'll give it to you. We want you to jump into God's Word. I encourage everyone, whether it's on your phone or you have a hard copy, bring the Word of God with you as we extrapolate what His Word says. This morning, the Word of the Lord is about God's love and how it restores. This morning's message title, I would call it, Dear Seattle, Jesus Loves You. Dear Seattle, Jesus Loves You. And we're looking at Hosea 6, the 6th chapter, verse 6, and it says this. the words of the Lord. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. The big idea this morning is that Jesus values our relationship with him more than anything else we do. Jesus' love is relentless. You've got notes this morning. We're going to have a couple fill-ins. I'd invite you to take those out of your bulletin now. And as we get into this, I have a question this morning. What's your favorite love story? You know, being that this is Valentine's week, what's your favorite love story? I asked that to our staff this week and got different answers back. And we typically go to movies, and so we think of movies in terms of love stories. Don't you? What's your favorite love story? What's your favorite movie? Some people answered Sleepless in Seattle. We are the city, right, of Seattle, and that's such a great movie. Or You've Got Mail. It's another good one, right? What's yours? Shout it out to me. Tell me, what's your favorite love story, your favorite movie? Okay, I didn't understand a word y'all said. You said it at the same time, but you said it with conviction, so I believe you. Disney movie. I mean, there's tons of different fun love stories, but I found this week in my study, in a world awash of love stories, Hosea is a pretty remarkable love story that God put in the Bible. You see, Hosea, when we look through this great book the next few weeks together, Hosea, he's the prophet of love. Hosea, it's a parable of God's care for his people. When you read, you'll find that Hosea's narrative portrays just how much the Lord loves. And it shows God's love because he goes after us at our worst. Not only does he go after us at our worst, but he keeps after us until he gets all of us. Hosea's name literally means salvation. Make note of that. So we really get to know Christ Jesus by getting to know Hosea, by absorbing his story's gritty love. This is a different type of love story. See, by marrying and loving Gomer, you'll find, is an unfaithful prostitute who God instructed Hosea to go and marry. And by marrying and loving Gomer, Hosea perfectly portrays the clause, "Dear Seattle, Jesus loves you." I have a video that I want to preface this message with this morning that speaks of God's love for you.
We are often told, God loves you. But what does that really mean? That some impersonal force, galaxies away, may consider you from time to time? Or that you are a single drop in a vast ocean of humanity, and God cares for all of it? There are billions of lives, billions of stories. Can we really believe he has great destinies planned for all of them? Surely the ruler of the universe has more important affairs than to notice the needs of one singular individual. But hear this, nothing could be further from the truth. When God says, "I love you," it means that he crafted every detail of your being. Your every feature is his perfect design. His mind perceives your worries and your thoughts. His heart is broken by your pain. You are his child, created in his image. Your value exceeds all the riches of earth. Your worth extends beyond the stars. And though you may be unaware, he's carefully constructing the events of your life to build his kingdom. If you are willing, he can and will achieve wonders through your hands. It is the deepest passion, the most meaningful promise. It is your security, your hope, and your future. It is the truth beyond doubt. God loves you.
So we reflect, dear Seattle, Jesus loves you. God loves you this morning. Let's unpack this idea together. Two ways Hosea demonstrates Jesus' love. Number one, in your notes, he relentlessly pursues. He relentlessly pursues. Hosea 1:2 says, go and marry a prostitute. Now, I know God's asked a lot of us in here to do different things, but has he ever asked you such? As we read the narrative of Hosea, I want you to think in terms of letting the text read you. As we go through these scriptures, I want you to ask yourself, who is Hosea? Who is Gomer? How can I relate to this text this morning? How can I put myself? How can I let it read me? Right where I'm at, all of us in this room, every single one of us have come this morning to Calvary with different situations, different circumstance, different scenario. How can this passage, how can this text reach you right where you're at? He says, go and marry a prostitute. God sent Hosea to a people who needed to know the love of God. A God who wanted to tell them that he knows their past and he still wants an intimate relationship. It says, go and love your wife again. I circled that word in my text. Go and love your wife again. Even though she commits adultery with another lover, this will illustrate this morning that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods. The same idea, the same big idea, Paul articulates it by saying this: God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, still blown it, Christ died for us. Dear Seattle, Jesus loves you. Jesus himself said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So God tells Hosea, he says, bring Gomer back. Go after her again. Go again and love. Hosea, perhaps more than any other prophet in the Bible, reveals the loving heart of a relentless God. Listen to this. It's God's words. He's speaking through Hosea. He says, I will betroth you to me forever. That's a long time. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice. In love, in compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness. And you will acknowledge the Lord. Dear Seattle, Jesus loves you. As I read this, I ask myself, is this the love that describes your experience? And just like I ask myself, I ask you this morning, is this type of love that is this the type of love, the relentless love of God, is this the love that defines your experience? Your experience in relationships, your experience in marriage, your experience in dating, your experience in parenting, your experiencing in grandparenting, your experience at work, your experience on the job. In other words, what are the love structures in your life that you're fortified with? What are the love structures that you fortified, that you've built your life around? What is the concept? Maybe it was embedded in you as a child. Love. Does this type of relentless love mark your experience? I mean, read that scripture again. I will betroth you to me forever. Have you experienced a forever type of love. This is God. This is, he's trying to unpack who he is for us this morning. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice. Does your love experience, is it marked with righteousness and justice? Or maybe perhaps it's been injustice and unrighteousness. Maybe you've been wronged. Maybe your love experience hasn't been that of compassion. Maybe you define love a completely different way based on what's been embedded or your experience in your formative years. Perhaps faithfulness in this text. I will betroth you in faithfulness and you will acknowledge love. Maybe faithfulness hasn't been. Maybe somebody's left you. Maybe somebody's betrayed you, denied you. We all have different experiences that are embedded in us. And this morning, here's what we're after. Here's the message. Here's the good news. Here's the hope. Dear Seattle, Jesus loves you. Consider your formative years. Consider your recent experience. Consider your hopes and aspirations with regard to love. In a world of broken promises, I've found that Jesus promises a relationship characterized by permanence, characterized by right standards, characterized by fair treatment, characterized by unfailing security. Here's God in a nutshell. I love this verse. He says, yes, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God in a nutshell, right there, Jeremiah prophesied, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Yes, I know your mistakes. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Yes, I know you've been through betrayal and divorce and hurt and pain, and you're having a hard time right now, but yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Yes, I know you've made mistakes. I know your past, but I've loved you with an everlasting love. Yes, I know you deal with the guilt and shame, but yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Paul shows us, I love this, he shows us what relentless love looks like by pointing to Jesus. Just like Hosea, years and years before the arrival of Jesus, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God Almighty on earth in the flesh, before he came and announced his arrival, as Hosea so poignantly and articulately does, he points to Jesus. The same way Paul points to Jesus in his experience. Let me read this to you. Eugene Peterson, I love his paraphrase of this text. Romans 8, this is the end portion of the 8th chapter, and I pick up right around verse 29. It says, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made the decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. So what do you think? What do you think this morning, Calvary? What do you think about God's love this morning? What do you think about the story of Hosea and Gomer? A man God told to go marry a prostitute, a promiscuous woman in the city he was living, as an illustration of God's perfect love. So what do you think? Paul asks. With God on our side like this, how can we lose? This is a word of the Lord for somebody this morning. With God on your side, a loving God like he is, with God on your side, how can you lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Now that's love. God Almighty, at the right hand, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, right there. There, Jesus, the Word of God, he's sticking up for you right now. Now, I don't know how other people have treated you. I don't know what kind of week you've had. I don't know who said what about you, but God Almighty, Jesus is sticking up for you. That's love. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Listen to this. Some of us are going through major physical ailment in here. You know what he says? He says, not trouble, not hard times. Some of us in this place have been betrayed. There are people who are angry at you. There are people who you're angry at. And you know what God says? Not hatred. That can't even get between you and God. Not hunger. Not homelessness. Some of us are disadvantaged in this place. Some of us will listen to this message later and you're disadvantaged. He says, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. Not even the worst sins listed in Scripture can get between you, me, and God's love. Nothing. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced, Paul says, that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Amen. Yes and amen all by myself up here this morning. Are you smelling what I'm stepping in? I have a friend who says that. Are you getting what I'm throwing down at you this morning? Right? Yes. Jesus embraces you right where you are. Like Hosea goes after Gomer. Go get her again. She blew it again. Go get her. Go get her, Hosea. She's sleeping around again. She's thinking wrong again. She's messing up again. Go get her and illustrate to the world what I did for you. Wow! You talk about embrace? Man, that hugged me, Jesus. That's a good embrace. Despite my failures, despite my mess ups, despite my sins. So this morning, love isn't something Jesus does. It's who he is. This is the big idea this morning. This is the message, the good news, the hope this morning. So here's the question. What does it mean to be embraced by Jesus' love? Pastor Ryan, that sounds good. It preaches really well. Amen. Yes and amen. But what does that mean? What does it mean to be embraced by Jesus' love? Number two, he redeems and sets free. Two ways Hosea demonstrates Jesus' love. Number one, he relentlessly pursues. And number two in your notes, he redeems and he sets free. This is fun. You'll like this. A few kids were asked, what is love? I love the clarity of what kids say. They hold no punches, right? They just say it how it is. What is love? Danny, age 7, says this. It says, love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and then sips it before giving it to him just to make sure it tastes yummy. Chris, age 5, she says this. Love is when my mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is way handsomer than Brad Pitt. Isn't that fun? Here's one. I love this. Stephen, this is in your notes. See, Stephen, age 5, says, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot because people forget. Here's how Hosea responds when asked, what is love? Scripture says, his narrative, his plot, his movie, so I bought her. I went and I spent whatever I had to. I went and I proved myself. Whatever, I bought her. He echoes God when he says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? I will ransom, I will redeem. I will pay whatever is necessary for you to know that I love you. I will prove myself. Paul echoes, he points to this scripture, you remember, in 1 Corinthians 15:55, where he says, death, where is your sting? Death, Where is your victory? In other words, nothing, not even death, can separate you from God's love. You may be in a dead situation right now, a seemingly hopeless situation right now, but God's word, the good news, listen this morning, whatever you're in, is this, that God calls things that are not as though they aren't, though they weren't. He calls them. He says, you're loved. You may not feel loved, but listen, you're loved. Your situation may not seemingly paint a picture of love. You may be asking questions. Why, God, am I walking through this again? I don't feel loved. But rest assured, death, the grave, none of it, seemingly hopelessness, none of these things can come between you and God's love. He will use these things to prove himself. How? So I bought her. I bought her. Hosea articulates, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. He's pointing back to what God has done. Isn't it interesting? Because God will use stories. God will use the narrative of yesteryear to prove himself. He said, remember what I did? Sometimes, isn't it? Haven't you found that to be your true? God will use somebody else's story, maybe a predecessor or somebody from the past. He'll use somebody else's story. He'll bring it to you. He'll use the narrative to say, hey, by the way, I love you. He's doing that right here. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Egypt represented slavery. Egypt represented 400 plus years of heartache, of pain, of despondency, of depression. You talk about anxiety, worry, and fear. Come on. That was Egypt. And he says, hey, I'm the God who brought you out of that. In other words, if I've done it before, I'm going to do it again. He goes on and he says, I will heal. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. Hosea says, he will revive us. He will restore us that we may live in his presence. What is God after here? God is after what the psalmist David said in Psalm 16:11, where he said, in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence. You see that scripture? That we may live in his presence. Yes, you're with me. I know you are. That we may live in his presence. What is the point here? Relationship. God wants relationship with you. And he paints that picture through Hosea. And he paints that narrative. And he shows it through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who walked on this planet. And this morning, he's showing it through me, through my presence this morning, that as you listen to my words, they wouldn't be mine, but God's. As you would look at me, it wouldn't be me, but Jesus. And as you experience my presence, my prayer is that it would be the presence of Jesus and remind you that you are loved. Amen. When others run away from you, Jesus runs to you with open arms. When everyone else leaves you, Jesus is right there. He comes to you. He both accepts you. Think of this narrative with Hosea and Gomer. He goes to her. He buys her. He accepts her, but he both accepts her and then affirms not her lifestyle, but affirms a change. He says, man, I know you've made these mistakes, but I'm buying you, I'm proving my love to you, and there's something better for you. There's a new way. There's a new hope in your life. So we look at Hosea. We wonder, what do I do with the love that has set me free? Like, what do I do when I know I've been loved and I know I'm free and I know it in my head, but what's my next step? Give it away. Give it away. Why? Love Jesus, love Seattle. Love Seattle, love Jesus. Why? Why do I give it away? Listen to this. Barna, I would encourage everyone in here, if you haven't, jump onto Barna website, the Barna Group Incorporated. And this is a quote I took this week. It says, nearly 1 in 4, 0.25% of the 18 to 35-year-olds. Why am I focusing on the 18 to 35-year-olds in this quote? Because If you have no vision for the future, you have no future. That's our future. Those are the people who are coming up in the ranks. Those are the people who will, when you and I are long gone, right? These are the next gen. So nearly 25% of the next gen acknowledges feelings of loneliness and isolation. That's got to change. That's just got to change. I don't care who you are. No one should go to bed at night not knowing they're loved. No one should wake up in the morning not knowing that there's hope. And we got 25% of the people out there who acknowledge openly. There's way more. These are those who go, yeah, I can articulate it. I've got enough self-awareness to realize it's loneliness and isolation. See, we are more connectedly disconnected today now more than ever. More people on social media. Nothing wrong with social media, but more people connected feeling disconnected. More people striving for hope. Somebody love me. Dear Seattle, Jesus loves you. Have you heard the coronavirus is feverishly killing hundreds and infecting thousands more? What if you and I had the cure? I've come to realize that loneliness and isolation is speedily infecting our cities. Speedily destroying, taking the hope, taking the life of people, leaving people feeling despondent and depressed. I just talked to a brother this morning. His great nephew committed suicide with a guitar string last week. There are people who are feeling despondent and depressed. There are people out there. There are people in this room this morning. That may be your story. Hopelessness. There's good news this morning. And that good news is found in Jesus' love. This is a message we've got to get out to the lonely, to the isolated, to the anxious, to the broken, to the hurting. Could the power of Jesus' love be the medicine? We're looking for a cure to these things. Could the love of Jesus be the cure for loneliness, for isolation? Dear Seattle, Jesus loves you. Reminds me of the story of my Northwest friend. My Northwest friend, he was renovating his house, and part of that project included taking some trees down in his yard. And so he decided, I need something that I can get some help with in making this project. And so he goes to the nearby store and finds a sales clerk, and the sales clerk pulls out a chainsaw and he says, hey, this here chainsaw is our best. We just got it in. This, it's actually guaranteed. They've proven it can cut down at least 15 trees a day. Whoa! So he's excited. Great, he takes it home. A week goes by. My angry Northwest friend returns the chainsaw, slams it on the counter, says, this thing's a piece of junk. I was only able to cut down 3 trees all week long. So the salesman says, well, that's interesting. He pulls it up and he gets down and he pulls the string and it starts right up. My startled Northwest friend said, what's that sound? Now, only about half the people laugh. This is another one of those cheesy, corny dad jokes that I tell because I like to. So those that didn't get the joke, what it means is he didn't, at home, my Northwest friend didn't start the chainsaw and use it like you're supposed to, like it was intended and created to be used. He tried cutting down trees like this all week with it not on and was only able to cut down 3. No extra laughs, I know, because it was that funny. I'm curious. I'm very curious this morning. How many of us do like my Northwest friend, trying to live by our own strength, trying to do the Christian life with our intellect, never knowing the power that we really could have if we would just activate Jesus' love. If we would activate and start up the power of his love. What does that look like? How does that work? Maybe perhaps activating the power of Jesus' love starts right here. In the morning, when I take my time with Jesus. And his power, his love, I experienced it in my life. And the things that seem insurmountable, the things that seem too great for me to handle in my own strength, that I've tried. I've tried cutting down stuff in my life on my own. I've tried surviving on my own. I've tried making it through just one more day on my own. And without the power of his love working in my life, I'm just unproductive. I'm ineffective. I've tried, and it hasn't worked. See, Jesus' love empowers us to live lives that are impactful in a city and in a world that will bring lasting change. I wonder this morning if like me, you've tried it on your own. I wonder this morning if, like when I was sitting there with Jesus having coffee with him this morning, and I didn't have to do anything. It was like a weight lifted. You know, I didn't have to prove myself. I didn't have to work extra hard trying to take that. Now I got a victory in my life. Yay, I'm really working this Christian life and trying to do it all in my strength and trying to use my own power. And I've done it. But this morning it was just this, I love you, Jesus. And getting the sense in me like, yeah, I love you too, Ryan. There's power in Jesus' love. Dear Seattle, Jesus loves you, and there's nothing he would want more than to just his power in your life to start it up. And perhaps he's sending you like that salesman to somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe he's sending one of you to someone like that salesperson who showed my Northwest friend, hey, here's how you start it. Maybe he's going to use you to show somebody how to start Christ's love in their life. I don't know. I wonder this morning, when you hear a message like this, what the Holy Spirit could be doing in you and in me. I've learned that we do what we were created to do when we love. You and I do what we were created and intended to do, designed to do by our Maker when we enable the power of his love. So Jesus sets us free of all of our sedimentalized and neurotic distortions of love that incapacitate us. He sets us free from all of that in the power of his love. Jesus provides direct access to a powerful relationship with God. Jesus helps us acquaint friends and family with true love. How? How does he do it? What does the power of love sound like? What does that ignition sound like in my life and in your life? And what is that? That's a great illustration, Pastor Ryan, but the practice of it, what does that sound like? I want to show you a quick video. I think this illustrates it. I think you're going to like this. Can we play that video? We're going to close with this.
Love is patient.
Like not honking the horn when you're already 11 minutes late.
Love is kind.
It's doing all the chores so she can wake up to a clean house.
It does not envy.
Being truly joyful when your friend gets the promotion, even if you didn't.
It does not boast.
Love does not remind your kid of his 20-game losing streak.
It is not proud.
How about we apologize more often?
It is not rude.
And let's not value a like over someone's feelings.
It is not selfish.
Love shares that last cookie.
It is not easily angered.
It breathes when it wants to scream.
It keeps no record of wrongs.
Love does not bring up the past, even though right now it would be really convenient and totally win me this argument.
Good night.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
Love doesn't get excited when people get destroyed online.
It always protects.
Love always stands guard.
Always trusts.
Always leans into the promises.
Always hopes.
Always sees what's possible.
Always perseveres.
Always gets up one more time.
Love never fails.
And it's always worth it.
See, I've learned that intentionality, and I'm learning this,
Not like I've arrived, right? None of us have. But I'm learning that intentionality is everything with love. I love that scripture that says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Hal Donaldson says it best. I love this. He says, the excuse of tomorrow expired yesterday. Who is somebody that you can love? What is something practical? Because Jesus says, if you love each other, everyone will know that you are my disciples. It's the if factor. It's the intentionality principle. You know, when we study Hosea, we're going to be looking further in the next weeks ahead, but Hosea's strongest sermon was his relationship with number one, God, and then his relationship number two with his adulterous wife. Did you know that Jesus is made known by the way you love others through compassion and care? What does that look like? I'm giving you some practical illustration this morning. Check out these pictures real quick. This was the sip of kindness that Kathy alluded to earlier and talked about that we did this week. A tangible way to express appreciation to our local schools and show the love of Jesus to our city. What do? We bring a coffee truck and we give coffee away to all the teachers and the faculty. We've adopted now. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. We've adopted now 3 schools in our area. Well, it sounds like you're bragging.
I am.
Because Jesus said, shine. How do you shine? By your good deeds. What does that mean? That means he wants people to see what you do. This is not something that we hide around with. This is something that we want the world to know. Man, let's give free coffee to everybody. Woo! Is it going to be expensive? Yeah. Is it going to cost some time? Uh-huh. Is it going to be some heartache maybe behind it? And some, yeah, but you know what? Why do we do it? Because we are expressing love. We are doing good. Isn't that kind of fun? Look at that. And so we were cautious not to put in pictures of other people. Doreen is one of our members here, so we put her picture in there, but we wanted to be sensitive in that regard. But what a cool event and a cool way, just a tangible way of showing people that we love them. Could it be that Jesus has sent you to Seattle to show his love? Just 2 things. These are takeaways here today, and then we'll be done. Showing love 101. Number one in your notes, be forgiving. Is there somebody this week, is there somebody today in your life that you need to forgive? Anybody? How do I show love? What's something I could do? I'm going to give you 2 things, 2 practical things that all of us, you and me both, will face. Probably maybe even some of us on the way out these doors before we even get to our car. Is there somebody you need to forgive? Maybe it's somebody you know. Maybe it's somebody you don't know from afar, but your heart, right? And then number 2, be kind. Loving 101, showing love 101, be kind. Dear Seattle, Jesus loves you. Is there anyone you can be kind to? Maybe your waitress or your waiter today that you tip a little extra. Maybe somebody on the way home that you see needs lunch. Maybe somebody like a homeless friend I met the other day who needed a bag to help keep his things dry in the rain. I don't know. God, if you pray about it and your heart is open to doing it, the Lord will bring you someone in your life that you can be kind to, starting with your family. Be forgiving. Be kind. They will know us by our love. So let's revisit Hosea in conclusion. God's articulated desire, it's the scripture I opened with. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than the burnt offerings. That word mercy, the original language, is goodness, kindness, faithfulness, a loyal love. This is a love that we don't work at. I gotta love. Pastor Ryan said I gotta love, so I gotta love. This mercy here is an extension out of an experience. So in other words, if I don't start the power of his love here in the mornings with Jesus, or whenever you have your quiet time with him, whenever you have your personal relationship, whenever you talk with him, if I don't start here, his power will not be activated in my life. I will not be able to extend out of an experience I know nothing about. I desire mercy, a loyal love, a faithfulness, a relationship. So God says, I desire mercy. I desire not sacrifice. I desire mercy, and I desire acknowledgement of God. That word acknowledgement there is to know. And this is the difference between knowing and knowing. Between knowing, I got the head knowledge. I've got a lot of Christianity embedded in my head. I know it. Yeah, but do you know it like in your heart? And this is a word for all of us, no matter how long we've been Christians, no matter how long we haven't. Heart, it's moving from head to heart, the acknowledgement of God. In other words, here's the question: is Jesus first place in my life? I asked myself that this morning. Is Jesus first place in your life? And Hosea concludes, I conclude this morning with that scripture Hosea says, where he said, if you want to live well, come on, this is for all of us this week. Come on. If you want to live well, listen now, make sure you understand all of this. If you know what's good for you, you'll learn this inside and out. And here's the word, here's the good news. God's paths get you where you want to go. Dear Seattle, Jesus loves you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your care. We acknowledge you this morning as Savior and Lord. And I know, God, that there are some in this place under the sound of my praying voice right now who need you really, really badly in their life. They really need hope. And so, God, I'm going to extend your invitation just like you asked me to do. I will do that right now. In your precious name, we pray, amen. And with every head bowed and eye closed right now, as I just prayed, I want to extend an invitation. And those that have not made a decision to follow Jesus as of yet, but this morning you're saying, man, I want to do that. I want to be a Jesus follower. I want to know his love. I want to know his compassion. I want to know his care. Something about this morning brought hope to my life. And I'm acknowledging Jesus as that source. I see, if you're anything like me, I've tried a lot of things. I've tried a lot of things in my life, trying to find joy, trying to find peace, trying to find hope, trying to find love. I tried a lot of stuff, guys. I'm sure you have too. And this morning, if you're like, you know, I don't know, Pastor Ryan, but something's got to change. Man, I've tried everything from overeating, undereating, sex, substance abuse, position, power, education. I've looked to so many different things, trying to find joy, trying to find life, everything. And you know what I found? I found that the only thing that really gave me hope, that really gave me love, that really gave me life, joy and peace, was in my relationship with Jesus. And I speak from experience this morning as an outflow of invitation to you. Somebody gave me an opportunity one time to respond to Jesus, and I don't want to miss that opportunity for you. So I extend an invitation. At the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand if you want to follow Jesus with me in this great adventure called life. At the count of three, I only ask you to raise your hand so I know who to pray for. One, two, three. Anybody who wants to receive Jesus this morning? I see hands going up. Yeah, one, two, three. Praise the Lord. Any others in the balcony this morning? You say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to respond to this invitation. Good. Pray this prayer in your heart with me. Would you, those who raised your hand? Lord, would you come into my life? Jesus, I believe in you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for coming after me. Thank you, God, for loving me. Please forgive me of my sins and my mistakes, God, that I've made in my life. Wash me and cleanse me. Lord God, make me whole again and help me, Jesus, to live wholeheartedly for you. I love you, Jesus. And I thank you for the hope that you've given me in this place today. Would you say amen with me if you believe that? Congregation, can we just put our hands together and welcome those who have decided to follow Jesus to the family of God? And would you stand with me this morning? As Linnea comes to conclude this service today, I just want to speak a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and protect you this week, okay? May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor, and may the Lord give you his peace. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you receive it this morning, would you say yes and amen?